Friends, before I start my talk this morning, I would like us to just join in prayer. There are many things that are present with us today, some you know about, some you don't. And it seems important that we put our hearts and our minds in the right place before we do anything else. On the heels of inspirational music and beautiful words from the Daily Word, beautiful words from Abby today, one of our chaplains for our gathering prayer. We have a lot of things that are happening in the world and happening in our local lives. And it's good for us to draw together now and just begin to hold these things in the consciousness of prayer, which elevates them beyond circumstances, beyond worry, beyond fear. So with joy, we announce that our friend Alicia, that you blessed just a few weeks ago as she made the journey into motherhood, is now in labor. And so we're surrounding her in the light and the truth of God in joy and ease as this little one comes into this existence. So we bless Alicia. We have a family in our church who's had multiple difficulties. And so we're surrounding that family. Notice that we can do that with love without having to know any of the details. We have extended family in our church in which one of our friends has been taking, she's an old friend of mine, has been taking her journey into and through dementia. And now she has had a stroke and is having difficulty finding a hospital bed here in Austin. We have Hurricane Henri downgraded to a tropical storm in some places. It's still barreling toward the northeast. We have a family that follows us as part of our extended family on live stream that are on Long Island awaiting this this storm coming their direction. And so for all those folks, we hold them in the light of safety and protection. There are people that are suffering with all the tragic and sudden circumstances in Afghanistan. And while many are suffering there, we especially remember the women and children who are now having to take a giant step backwards from some of the liberation and freedom and expansion of their human rights now being walked back. And also my mom is in the hospital with pneumonia. And so I ask your kind and loving thoughts to be with her as she and the medical professionals that are working with her find the best course of action. And so for all these things today, I just invite you to sink into the light into your heart. Because this is where the truth resides. This is where our faith resides. This is where our knowing of God's goodness in all things. And so we may not think it makes a difference, but we extend our hands and our hearts in love and companionship. We send the energy of strength toward all those for whom we pray today. And I know that you will have those that you will add in as well that are going through their journeys. People that we can be with, people who are far away from us that we can't be with. People that are engaged in their own healing in body, mind, and spirit. And we affirm the truth of God in everything. We affirm the presence of God in everything, the power of God, the protection of God, the love of God in all things. And so with this knowing, with this absolute assurance and confidence in spirit, we release them now We do them no service by holding on tightly to them. We release them gently to God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, Curtis. So I know that's a little bit different than the order in which we usually do things. We will have a meditation after the talk for you to have your own experience of going a little deeper and a little deeper. But it seemed important to address these things right up front today because they are, they can feel heavy upon us, all the things that are going on in the world. There are many people, not just my friend, who are having trouble finding hospital beds in the Central Texas area. And so with COVID raging and driving those hospitalizations up, we just see the light of healing upon this area, upon our nation, upon our world. And so on a little bit of a lighter note, I would like to just ask you if you kept up with the Olympics this year and if you saw some of the activities in the Olympics that haven't been in there before, which was exciting. Yes. One of the events that has been a regular thing in the Summer Olympics are the equestrian sports. And I happened to run across, I don't follow Twitter. Every now and then something will come across that gets my attention and I read it. And I saw a long Twitter feed about the equestrian events and how terrible it was to do these to the horses and how it was just not right for the rider just to sit there and let the horse do all the work. And I have to tell you that if you can hear Abby laughing, that was my reaction as well, Abby, because I'm a horseback rider myself, have been, and that is exactly not what's happening. So people who don't know are assuming that the rider's not doing anything. They're assuming that this horse doesn't like what they're doing. It's not natural. When, in truth, good equestrian skills have you ask only of the horse what the horse would do naturally. So many of the moves that you see somebody doing in a dressage ring are the things that they would normally do. They cross their hooves like that. They prance just. If you see a youngster, as in a youngster horse, also known as a foal, out there in the field, they will do a lot of these things. And I have to tell you, the gift of a really good rider is you not seeing what they're doing. That is the trick. Because this is a partnership. It's the only Olympic sport, really just about the only sport besides car racing, I guess, in which your intimate partner in that sport is an 11 to 1300 pound creature. So there's a little bit of bravery there, and the rider is, you can have the most subtle movement of the bones you sit on, and that's what tells the horse what to do. The fact that you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. You can actually have a thought. Your body will receive the thought. It will transmit that thought to the horse through those subtle body movements. And so there's a lot going on there, and a really good equestrian lets you think that it's not hard work, when in fact there have been hours and years and falls that have gone into the work of creating that really seamless partnership. But an assumption will spoil people on the sport because they haven't asked the questions about what's actually going on. So they decide that it's mean, they decide that the rider's lazy, when in fact neither one of those are true. So now I'm going to take it out of this rather broad category, removed from us, and ask you if you have ever gone through an experience of somebody assuming something about you that isn't true, that isn't accurate, and they behave toward you differently because of that. You know how awful that feels? It feels awful. It's hurtful. And it's bewildering sometimes because we can't figure out why this person is acting this way. And if we're working in our truth, we may go to them and say, hey, is there something between us that we need to know about, that we need to talk about? And they'll say, well, when you did this, I thought you were doing that. You say, oh, no, that wasn't it at all. You know how it goes. So if you have a good relationship with this person, then you're able to navigate through the difficulties of a relationship, even if it's a bump in the road. You're able to move through that and get to a place of peace and truth for both of you. Or I'll say in the correct order, truth and peace. So we know how much it hurts us, how much it affects us when others have made assumptions about us. But I'm not here to talk about that so much today, as I am here to talk about what happens when we make assumptions about other people, about other circumstances, about the world. Because what we're doing when we make assumptions is we are ignoring the truth. Now, we've been studying the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and if you were with Kit in the Wednesday night class this last Wednesday, then you've gone over this chapter, so some of these things are going to be familiar to you. But if you aren't studying the book, if you've never studied the book, if you're going through the book and throwing it against the wall because you'd rather not be reading these things, stick with me today, because Don Miguel Ruiz brings four basic rules for living, guidelines for living, if you will, in a way that makes our lives a little bit easier, that makes our lives a little more authentic, that lines us up with the spiritual beings that we really are. So the third assumption is, the third agreement is don't make assumptions. I almost said that backwards. The third assumption is don't make agreements. No, let's toss that out, erase that. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. Because what we're doing is creating our own reality about something. We're creating sometimes a whole universe around something that isn't necessarily true. So I'll say this now, and then I'll say it at the end if I remember. Ask, ask, and ask. Ask and ask and ask. If you've noticed, that's kind of what our music has been about today. It's also about not assuming that other people know something about us. If you've ever been in a relationship ever, part of the work that you do early on in a relationship is breaking down your assumptions about the other person. And in that beautiful pink glow of a new relationship, oh my goodness, we build these castles in the clouds, and we move into the castle, and we have children in the castle, and we name those children, and we create this beautiful future before our second date. And then once we kind of move into really having that relationship, we assume that the other person knows things about us that we may not have ever disclosed. We may assume that they know our needs without our ever saying them. We may assume that after we've been in relationship for a while, our love and our love alone will change that person into the one that we hope they will be. This is a deadly assumption. Deadly. So if we feel like we need somebody else to change in order for us to be in relationship with them, it's better just to cut our losses and go. And if we feel like we have to change in order to please the other person, then we need to cut our losses and go. because we are already starting to build a foundation on something other than truth. Now, this is perfectly in line with our spiritual teachings, because we talk about truth teachings, truth principles. We talk about new thought being founded on teaching and learning the truth. We are truth seekers. I can only guess how many times I've said the word truth in the almost 30 years that I've been doing this work. If I go back to my conscious spiritual work, it's 34 years. So here's what we do to ourselves. I'm going to read to you directly from Don Miguel so that you can hear this. Because this book is really, really tiny. It's this big. It's a tiny book. So he's very succinct about his words. And here's what he says. Whenever we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. All the sadness and drama you've lived in your life, this is important, was rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. Take a moment to consider the truth of this statement. The whole war of control between humans is about making assumptions and taking things personally. Our whole dream of hell is based on that. And I know you've heard me say this. I don't believe that there's an eternal lake of fire that people who don't do the right things go to when they die and they spend their eternity there. We don't need a hell like that. We do a fine job of creating hell all by ourselves. And this is one of the ways that we do it. So he goes on to say, it's always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. So just think for a moment about a time that you've made an assumption about something. You've created a reality, you've created a universe, you've created some drama. And it is our nature as human beings to do that. I don't know anyone who's so spiritual that they don't make an assumption every year or two, or day or two. And so we make up this suffering for ourselves. And we are trying to keep ourselves safe by doing this. We think that if we create an illusion based on our assumptions, then we can have something to feel righteous about. We can have something to feel right about. We can have a way to separate ourselves from other people because we've assumed that they've done something that now we're indignant about, or we're mad about, or we're hurt about. And so we've set up this lake of stagnant water between us and the other. We've done it. And we've done it to ourselves. And a lot of times we like the way it feels because we like to be righteous and we like to be mad at other people. Because being mad at other people lets us stand over here and know that we're correct. And boy, do you see just in my body language, that's just icky. That's my professional term for making assumptions. It's icky. So as you've noticed, if you hear sounds of people in the room, it's just the staff that we need to have here, musicians, volunteers, our technical crew. We're in the room to bring you this service, so you'll notice we're not in the room with a lot of people. You may have an assumption about why that's going on. But unless you've been in the room where the decisions are being made, and unless you've read about how we come to these decisions and why we come to these decisions, then you may have an assumption about what we're doing. So if you have an assumption about why we're doing this, about why our doors aren't open to everybody right now, please ask, and we will tell you all the variables that go into these decisions. Let me tell you, the board, Kit, Leah, and I, we don't enjoy three-hour discussions about our course of action. Imagine that, not enjoying a board meeting that lasts 3 hours. One of our board members is here in the room. Do we love it? No, we do not love it. No. And you see, don't forget that your board members, your elected board members, are volunteers. They don't get paid to make these difficult decisions. And they're not out to do anything to this community except keep it safe, keep it going, keep it flourishing, and provide the best that we can under circumstances that none of us have ever experienced before. That's what's going on. So if you have any questions, please reach out to a board member, to me, to Kit. Please don't make an assumption, because what that does is set up a false sense of separation between you and your spiritual community. And that goes for everything, not just why we're closed, but anything about our spiritual community. Ask, because I don't know any of us who wouldn't be willing to talk to you about anything that's going on with the church, as long as it doesn't violate a personal confidentiality. That's the bottom line, my friends. So I'm going to assume that you'll take this truth to heart, everything that I've just said, and talk to us if you have a question. Talk to us if you feel separated. Just call on me, brother. If you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on. And by hook or crook, we will figure out a way to do it. That's what we're here for. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Just to drive the point home, I wore my pink sneakers today. It's a collaboration between Nike and a fashion company called Fear of God. I'm just saying. That was a little joke, friends. I don't think we need to have the fear of God about anything. God's not to be feared. Okay, boom. That didn't land at all, did it? Okay. It's worth a try. So, you see, we have got ourselves into a situation in the world right now in which there are vast polarities. There are these gaping holes between one and the other. I've got to think that the only reason we're in that predicament right now is because it's time for us to grow out of it. It's time for us to get over ourselves and listen to each other and listen to the voice of God inside us. That really true, deep voice that goes, hang on just a second. Is this really the way you want to go? Is this really the suffering you want to set up for yourself? Just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's right. What do you get out of it by standing or typing? What do you get out of it to argue with someone else? We cannot know the circumstances of anybody else's lives. Oh my goodness. We barely have a grasp on our own circumstances. You know, if I was never rude in traffic, I could get really upset, justifiably, at all those other people that are. But I've been rude in traffic, unintentionally, but I've done it. So I don't get to throw stones, you know? I just don't get to do that. Please, God, help me remember what I just said so that I don't do it. But we all could stand to back up just a little bit and breathe before we speak, before we condemn, before we assume, before we separate, before we suffer. Listen, have you ever had a really, really bad headache and you've gone, oh, it's probably a tumor. I probably have a brain tumor. That's probably it. Oh my God, I'm going to die. So you went from headache to death just like that. We assume there's something terrible that's going on with us. The truth is, we are much better at handling the truth about our physical selves than we are handling the suffering we create in our unknowing. That's the thing about assumptions. We think we can't handle the truth. We think that if we have that hard conversation and hear what something really is, that if we do a little exploration, a little investigation, that we can't handle what we find out. Believe me, beloved, we can handle that better than we can handle our self-imposed hell. Try it. Try it. Listen, your assumption may be true. That's okay. Find out. At least you'll make a connection with that other person. You can agree to disagree. You can decide not to have that person in your life, but at least you're doing it with truth and authenticity rather than an assumption which is based on nothing. So we can handle the truth. We can. We can't scuttle around a corner and peek at it. Let's just stand there. In openness and honesty and compassion and love with another and get to it. We can do that. We can end our suffering just like that. It's okay if it turns out your assumption is correct. And I can tell you that the energy of knowing is much different than the energy of assuming. The daily word today was so great. It has the story of Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore. And you know, Charles could have, when Myrtle went through her great healing, these are the co-founders of Unity, she was healed from a chronic respiratory condition because she just closed herself in her room and prayed for a couple of weeks, and it was gone. Now, Charles could have said, well, that was just some kind of mind over matter business. She must have been sneaking some medication when I wasn't looking. He could have assumed all sorts of things, but rather than do so, he did his own investigation. He asked her questions about how she did it, what her method was. He started exploring that great fertile environment of exploration and intelligent curiosity that was just beautifully flourishing at the end of the 19th century. He jumped into that and he found the truth for himself. And he could have missed all of that, and we would have missed those words that have brought us to this day today if Charles had assumed that Myrtle was just, you know, a little crazy. And so, thank goodness, Charles decided to find out for himself. And then the scripture today from Job. But truly, it is the spirit in a mortal, the breath of the Almighty, that makes for understanding. So, dear mortal, The breath of the Almighty breathes you. The breath of the Almighty strengthens your thoughts, strengthens your courage, softens the hell you've created. It lives in you. You don't have to find it. You don't have to seek it. It's already there. And it makes for understanding. I'll read you the last words of this chapter. Thus, then, is the third agreement. Don't make assumptions. Just saying this sounds easy, but I understand that it is difficult to do. It is difficult because we so often do exactly the opposite. We have all these habits and routines that we're not even aware of. Becoming aware of these habits and understanding the importance of this agreement is the first step. So there's your homework. Become aware of your habits. Start studying, taking in what this third agreement is about. But understanding its importance is not enough. Information or an idea is merely the seed in your mind. What will really make the difference is action. Taking the action over and over again strengthens your will, nurtures the seed, and establishes a solid foundation for the new habit to grow. This would be the habit of inquiry, the habit of asking questions, the habit of softening yourself toward another. After many repetitions, these new agreements will become second nature, and you will see how the magic of your word transforms you from a black magician into a white magician. Just think about being a white magician in your own life. Kind of cool. You could even get robes. A white magician and a hat uses the word for creation, giving, sharing, and loving. So if you're missing out on creation, giving, sharing, and loving, you might want to take this agreement to heart. By making this one agreement a habit, your whole life will be completely transformed. Boom. There it is. There it is. Not easy, but not impossible. Not easy without changing your mind. And I know you know what that's like. You've changed your mind. I've watched you do it. I've watched you absorb truths into your heart, assimilate them into your lives, and live lives that are whole and free. Here's another one. Because we are always, always, always learners on the spiritual path. And after a while, we begin to welcome every lesson with joy. We do. Because having freedom and doing what it takes to have that is so much better than living in our own hell. It's so much better than suffering. So if you will now, I'm going to ring the bell, and I'm going to ask you to sink into your heart, to let the breath of the divine breathe in you. And remember, I told you that I would say it again, ask, ask, ask. So today, in this time of meditation, I invite you, as you begin to live in your heart completely, that you ask, what is to be revealed to me today? Where have I held assumptions against someone else and therefore against myself? Where in my life have I been suffering? And is it because I've assumed something that may or may not be true? It is our nature to try to define and put boundaries around our understanding. We seek to label something, to judge something, without knowing. Because it creates that illusion of safety for us. In the spiritual life, would have us live from moment to moment to moment, letting life reveal itself to us, so that we can live in a breathless unknowing that sets us free. There is a time and a place for facts. There's a time and a place for analysis and planning. And yet through it all, there is the hum, that deep, deep vibration of spirit working through every function of our mind. Showing a different facet to us of something that we may have observed all our lives, but we did not see this one part. So let your soul be the prism through which light passes, ever changing. And just as the sun shines upon us in its different angles and its passage through the day, so does the light of truth shine into our lives in all its glory, in all its beauty, in all its differentiation. And if in this quiet time your mind is casting about, saying, but I must know, I have to know, I must know, be at peace, be patient. All that needs to be healed in you is being healed right now. All that needs to be revealed to you is being revealed right now. And it will come to your conscious mind exactly when you need it. Breathe, beloved. Breathe the breath of the Almighty, the ground of your being. That which has been with you since before your birth to this life and will be with you beyond this one. God spoke to Job and said, I created all things. You did not witness their creation, and yet here they are. And Job was in awe. For surely this man of God had a new and deeper understanding of that relationship, as do you today. So be not afraid. Be not afraid to let go. Be not afraid to let go and let God. Be not afraid. Just be. the breath of the Almighty breathing in you right now. Since you're joining us wherever you are and whenever you see this, I extend the hand of companionship, compassion, prayer, and love to you right now. We all need this. We need to feel connected. And in a small way, I offer you this. Our hearts know the depth of it. And so, beloved, be at peace. Know that even now, circumstances of your heart are rearranging themselves. You can never not know that assumptions without questions do not serve you well. God is a living, breathing, organic, changing thing. That presence in your life is ever new, even as it is ancient and timeless. Be with it. Be with it. And be at peace. For all this, we are grateful, we are open, and we say, and so it is. Amen.